You'll find a Bible in front of you in the pew, the old authorized version of Holy Scripture. And we're turning to the book of Psalms. And we're turning to the last Psalm but one of the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That's better than nightmares, isn't it? Singing aloud to God upon our beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. May God help us to praise him with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. Open your Bible at this 149th Psalm. The last phrase of verse 3 of this Psalm, or verse 2 of this Psalm, rather. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. My subject is how to make 2006 the best possible year in all your life. And the text gives the answer. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. We might well ask ourselves this question. With all the blessing of God upon us, as children of the Lord, mercies that are renewed every morning by God's unfailing providence, why is it that only a very small proportion of God's people really live joyful lives? The answer is simple. It rests with the word dependence. On whom do we depend? Do we depend on ourselves? If we do, we will never be totally happy. To trust in oneself is to trust in a broken branch. Do we trust in our own works? Then we will be of all men most miserable. Our efforts are weak at the best, And so the joy will be a swift departing morning cloud in our everyday experience. Do we trust in other Christians? Then we will be cursed and not blessed. For Deuteronomy 27 verse 6 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them." And all the people shall say, Moses ordered, amen. So there is no real joy by depending on ourselves, by depending on our works, by depending on other Christians. No, not in the world. Not in the inhabitants of the world. Not in the company of the world will you find the unlimited happiness that is promised to God for His own people. Lasting joys are found in Christ and in Christ alone. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. To enter into this joy, we must crown Christ our King. He must be crowned as King of my life. My life needs to be ruled. It needs to be directed. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be conformed to Christ the King. There has to be a complete and absolutely an absolute bowing in allegiance to Christ. You can't just be partly for Christ. You must be totally and absolutely committed to Christ. King of my life, I crown thee now. If you haven't crowned him now, you'll not have a good year. For the only year of absolute happiness is when Christ is King of our lives. Secondly, he needs to be King of our hearts. The heart is the generator of love. Christ must be the King of my heart. My love must be His. He must have the first place and the first love from a totally undivided heart. You can't serve two masters. You'll either love one and hate the other, or you will be miserable in trying to ride a pathway which is not a pathway but is a deceit. And then Christ must be King of my service. If I'm going to be happy, I must serve my Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my might. Christ will not take any second place. He must have all my life. He must have all my soul. And He must have all my all. King of my life. Is He King of your life? King of my heart. Is He King of your heart? King of my service. Is He King of your service? Fourthly, He must be King of my company. What company do I keep? As a loyal servant of the Lord Jesus, I cannot give myself to the company of the world, to the company of the flesh, or to the company of the devil. I am totally obligated in my company to honor the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And if I do not do that, I will not be happy. And I'll find no happiness in two time-serving attitudes, one to Christ and one to the world. King of my company. He must be king of my pathway. I can only walk on the king's pathway. Bypath Meadow is not the place for the foot of the saints of God. I must be separated in the path that leads away from the world, that leads away from sin, that leads away from the devil, and leads me closer to the precious bleeding side of my Savior. But he's not only to be king of my life, and king of my heart, and king of my service, and king of my company, and king of my path. He is to be king of my tongue. The reigning Christ must control my speech. I speak not for myself, but for the Lord. I am called to open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. How many of God's people are silent when their Lord is defamed? How many of God's people drop their heads when they should be raising their heads and standing up to defend the blessed Son of God? It pays you to defend the Lord Jesus. Because when you do it, then people know that they will not take his name in dishonor. In your company. I don't know how many times every week I pass through the company of members of Parliament, and when they greet me and talk to me, then they use a swear word. I don't need to utter any rebuke to say, Ian, I apologize. I know that you don't like that language. I said, I certainly do not. Neither does God like it. We should stand up for Jesus. An MP said to me, when you came in here, I knew I would find you out to be a hypocrite. So he said, I put my microscope upon you. And I have watched you this last few years. And I found nothing that I could accuse you of. You have something, Ian. You're not a hypocrite. You're bold for Christ and for his truth. The best commendation I could have got from anyone. What's your reputation among the ungodly? That's the question. King of my tongue. King of my work. There are things I cannot do because I am the king's man. I am under orders. I conform to Christ's commandments. The Bible at all times is my study book. That is the only way to get the glory of joy into your soul. Now, having said that, by way of preparation, could I say only a child of God can be joyful in their king? Note the title, the children of Zion or the children of God. The emphasis here is upon birth. We were born naturally as children of wrath, even as others. We were born into the family of the devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your Father ye will do. We were born in darkness and in the shadow of death. Hell's darkness surrounded us, and darkness reigned unchallenged in our hearts and in our minds. We were alienated from God. We were separated from the Christ of God. We were born lost in sin. We needed to be born again. And then one day, happy day, glorious day, wonderful day, I was born into the family of God. And I got a change of nature. I became a partaker, not of the nature of Adam, the fallen man, but I became a partaker of the new nature of the second man, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I got that new nature, the things I loved, I hated them. And praise God, the things that I once hated, I loved them with all my heart and soul and mind. Some years ago on this road, I led a man to Christ. He was what you would call in East Belfast a hard man. He was hard in his liquor, hard in his gambling, hard in his speech, and hard in his loose living. But God saved him. I remember meeting him further down the road near the old church, and he said, "I have a problem, Mr. Paisley." Says, "I have you." Says, "I have hundreds." He said, "Well, I have just one. I don't understand myself." My, there was a day, if you asked me to go to a prayer meeting, I would have cursed you to your face. If you'd asked me to go to a gospel meeting, I would have cursed you to your face. If you'd asked me to take a stand with a placard for Christ, I would have cursed you to your face. But now, I keep looking up where I can find a prayer meeting every night in the week. He said, "I want to go where I can hear the Word of God preached and studied." He says, "I have an unquestionable appetite. What glorious things are spoken of the children of the Lord." Have you experienced this in your life? Are you a child of God, and that's why you're rejoicing in your King? Notice carefully, these children of God are all different in their ages. Some are very old. I'm not referring to myself, by the way. And some are very young. Some are babes, and some are ancient. Some have the marks of the burden and heat of the day upon them. They have fought a good fight. Some are gray-headed, and some have not grown enough hair on their scalps, let alone on their faces. The ages of the children of God are all different. In heaven, all ages will be represented. You go home and take the book of Isaiah and start reading it, and you'll find out the ages of people in heaven. I'm not going to tell you the chapter, for if I did, you would just go home, look up the text, and say, is that what he was getting at? You just look for it, and you'll find the ages in heaven. In heaven, they're all rejoicing. Weeping is over. The voice of crying is over. The child shall be long lived to rejoice in his God. For God has said he will create Jerusalem are rejoicing and her people are joy. The millennial age of 1,000 years and the age of the eternal heavens when God makes all things new is going to be the age when we'll see the ages of the people of God. What a contrast. Time when the earth shall taste again of God's glory. Faithfulness is the joy of all the people of God in heaven. And isn't it interesting that every descriptor of angels are described as young men? You say, how do you know that? I've read the Bible. Go you and read it. And you'll find out every time an angel is mentioned in regard to his nature and his appearance, he's described as a young man. Heaven is God's eternal throne room of all, of whatever age they be, who have gained eternal youthfulness. Because although God is the Ancient of Days, He is the one who never dies. He is the great I Am. Let me say to you, the children of God differ in their experience. They lived in different ages and in different places of this earth. Some were Highlanders, some were Lowlanders. Some had won first fight, and some have had continual warfare. Some had times of great peace, others had times of terrible and prolonged war. Some kept straight on, others fell by the wayside, but were eventually restored into God's joy once again. Uniformity is not known among the children of God. They all have different experiences, but the same Lord delivered them out of all their troubles. And there is no real trouble in the heart of a child of God if he's living in perfect and complete harmony with the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about something that's in a book of theology. I'm talking about something that is indelibly written in this book, the Word of God. God has called us unto joy. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee in thy eternal home. We are going to a place that is no sin, and God has called us to get victory over sin as we walk the path. Sin shall not have dominion over you. The children of God are one in their nature. They're all united to Christ, no matter what area in the world they have lived in. They are all bone of Christ's bone and flesh of his body. They're all members of the precious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what gives them joy. United to Christ, I have joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Could I say something else? The children of God enjoy exalted positions. Listen, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. No! Are you living in misery, child of God? Are you living, and if you smiled, the wrinkles would crack in your face, for you haven't smiled for a very long time. I had a a song leader when I was a young evangelist, and he used to get the people to sing, "Smile a while and give your face a rest." Well, I tell you, as many Christians would need to smile and give their face a rest. Yeah. But the children of God are now the sons of God. And listen, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But when Christ shall appear, listen to this, we shall be like Him. You couldn't get anything so wonderful as that. You're going to be like Christ. It was Robert Murray McShean who said the words, "Being like Christ is the greatest thing that God can do for any man or woman." What a thing that He'll make us like His precious Son. And we're going to see Him as He is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now are we the sons of God. Could I say something more to you? The children of God expect rewards both in earth and heaven. I talked to a Christian the other day, stupid man. You know what he told me? He said, "You shouldn't expect any rewards. You shouldn't expect any rewards. I've heard you preaching," he says, "and you talk about rewards in heaven." I said, "Because God has promised rewards to His people. He has promised two sorts of rewards. Rewards here below. It says, doubtless we shall come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us." That happens down here. What a wonderful thing. As I was telling the congregation this morning, we have a man with us. He's here again tonight. Dear help him if he wasn't at both services. And 50 years ago, I led him to Christ. 50 years ago. May I tell you, God's salvation wears well. Mr. Nicholson used to say to me, "Ian, it's like the soles of your feet. It wears well." And so it does. The person is really saved. And the work is really done. It's done forever. And as long as God lives, the children of God will live. And as long as God reigns, the children of God will reign. When you go home tonight, read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you'll find there's rewards for everybody in the seven churches. We're going to eat of the tree of life. We're not going to taste the second death. We're going to eat of the hidden manna. We're going to be given the white stone and a new name. We're going to have power over the nations. We're going to be clothed in white robes. There will be no blotting of our names out of the book of life. We'll be given a new name and a new confession, and it will be written upon us. We will be made a pillar in the house of God, and we'll never go in and out again. We'll be there forever. We're going to sit down in the throne with Christ. What rewards? The rewards in heaven are fabulous. They're glorious. They're unspeakable. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man. What God's going to do for those that love Him. What will heaven be like? Finally, the children of God have direct access to the Holy Trinity of God. God's throne is ever accessible to the children of God. They are in their own house. The Father's house is their territory. Think of it, to have influence with God. Oh, wondrous power of faithful prayer. What tongue can tell the almighty grace? God's hands are bound or open are, as Moses and Elijah prayed. That Moses in the spirit groaned, and God cries out, "Let me alone." Isaiah 45, verse 11 to 19, go home and read it. It tells you that God is no respecter of persons. It tells me that I've got to remind God. It's stronger even than that. It says, "Command ye me concerning my work." Think of it. That God takes a poor, vile, dirty, hell-deserving, half-damned sinner and saves him, and then makes him an advisor. The other day, I was made an advisor to Her Majesty, the Queen. But I have a far better honor than that. I'm an advisor to my King, my Lord of glory. I meet him every morning. I meet him before I get out of bed. For when I open my eyes, I pray immediately. And I pray every morning, this bed is an altar. This body is a sacrifice. Oh, see me on the altar lay. My life, my all, this very day. To crown the offering, now I pray, send the fire. That's the way I start my day. Every day I bind my body again to Christ and swear allegiance to King Jesus. Here there's words in the Sunday press today that I've been assassinated. I would say to those that want to kill me, they'll have to wash their bullets in holy water if they're going to penetrate my tough Protestant hide. They'll have a hard job to do it. Because I'm immortal, as long as God wants me to be immortal, and not can harm the Father's child. I'm talking about realities. I've been here in this city for a long time. In fact, there was a boy raving the other night, and he said, "We've got rid of Fitz, we've got rid of Hume, and we'll get rid of Paisley." I said, "No, he's a prod. The others weren't prods. That's how we got rid of him." Let me tell you this, friend, I'll live as long as God wants me to live. And I'll say the things that God wants me to say. And I am not surrendering to any man or to the Queen herself. I am God's man. I'm in sworn allegiance to the King. I'm going to do His work, and what a master He is to serve. I have served him since I was saved as a boy of 6. And I can recommend the best employer you ever worked for is the Lord Jesus. The best master you ever did work for is the Lord Jesus. What a Savior He is. God is no respecter of persons. In fellowship alone, to God with faith draw near. Approach His courts, beseech His throne with all the power of prayer. Go to His temple go, nor from His altar move. Let every house His worship know, and every heart His love. You know, I was reading in the book of Revelation this week, and I found out something. That heaven is going to be a very noisy place. There's going to be trumpets. There's going to be voices. There's going to be vials. There's going to be choirs. There's going to be songs. There's going to be musical instruments. But in all the millions and billions of years of eternity, at a certain time, there'll be silence in heaven for half an hour. You just think of that. For half an hour, there'll be silence in heaven. But all the rest of the billions of years to come will be loud, joyful, rejoicing. Just go home and think about that. And take the book of Revelation and start reading it. And find what that half hour means. The half hour of silence in heaven. We read that sorrow and sighing will flee away. Just as the little dove flew away from the ark, so sorrow and sighing shall fly away from the house of God. There'll be no sorrow there in my Father's house. There will be glad tidings of great joy. Rejoice in God, child of God. Rejoice in the history of God. Rejoice in being a child of God. Rejoice in the book of God, which is filled with promises, exceeding great and precious promises. But could I say something to the lost sinners in this meeting? Poor, miserable child of the devil, you're deceived, you're disappointed, you're disheveled, you're ready to be damned, but I tell you, you can make flight now to Christ, the refuge for the sinner's soul. Turn ye! Turn ye! For why will you die? Christ can save you now, right here. You can become a partaker of this joy that I've been preaching about tonight. Forgiveness, love, peace, everlasting life can be yours, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Christ now standing at the door of every sinner's heart. The worst need keep him out no more, nor force him to depart. I picked up an old hymn book today. I like to read these old gospel hymns of revival times. And I read these words. What will you do in that great day? When heaven and earth shall pass away. When all the pomp and glory here, like morning dew, shall disappear. And you from out your lonely tomb shall stand in judgment's awful doom. When God's great trump shall wake the dead, where will you hide your once fair head? What will you do? Where can you go amid that fearful scene of woe? When none can help and all alone you stand before the great white throne. What will you do when lightnings flash? This wide world quivers and thunders to crash. The earth shall melt with fervent heat. And you, oh, where can you find retreat? Not even the grave can hide you more, for death and hell, their dead restore. O awful day, who would not be sheltered, O Lamb of God, in thee? Safe at thy side, when wild and loud the shrieks of that unnumbered crowd shall rend the heavens and fill the skies, the judgment's doom shall close their cries. Does that describe your eternity? Or is your eternity described in the words of another hymn? Face to face shall I behold him. Far beyond the starry sky. face to face in all his beauty, I shall see him by and by. Sinner, hasten to the cross. Hide your bleeding, sinful soul in the wounds of Jesus. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah! He will save you now. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful gospel we have been preaching tonight. We thank thee for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We thank thee for the reality of God's salvation. We thank thee for the joy unspeakable and full of glory that's in our heart. We thank thee that God loves us. Christ died for us. Heaven is a place for us. And we'll be with you for all eternity. And the darkest path on earth, you give us light. The heaviest burden, you make light. We can cast all our care on God, for God cares for us. Do us good this night. Bless the women's meeting. Bless the youth meeting. And make it a time of salvation and blessing. And may God's grace and God's mercy be with us all. And everybody said, amen and amen. If you're not saved, dear man, call on God now. Just say that little prayer then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in the precious blood and take my sins away. And God will do it. Hallelujah. What a Savior he is. Amen and amen.